Well, the moment you pick up the thread of a point of view and run off with a story about it, it's like creating a ball of string. And when you look at a ball of string, you can't see what's going where. It loses meaning and it loses direction. And the same is true with endless stories based on points of view. You weren't born with any ideas about anything. You weren't born feeling that you needed to know how to talk about the world or how to label things. And so something that is your greatest accomplishment in life, being born, you did without any thinking and without any effort on your part. Isn't that incredible? You came to be without any effort, without any thinking at all. And the basic state is as it is, without any effort and without any thinking. And so even though it may go against everything that has ever been learned by you or anyone else, the practice of short moments of awareness repeated many times is required to break through, shine through, cut through this infrastructure of labeling that you have created. And by that power of short moments of awareness repeated many times, you notice your spacious nature. You recognize your spacious nature. And you see that short moments many times is not anything that requires effort or thinking. So it is authentic. It's what is genuine about you. By recognizing what is genuine and authentic about you, you have wisdom. Wisdom is synonymous with awareness. Increasing obviousness of awareness equals increasing obviousness of wisdom, true wisdom, pure wisdom, of knowing what to do and knowing how to act in all situations. And this applies to money and everything else. It applies to any question you might have about life. Now, initially, when you're gaining confidence and awareness, you may not have complete trust in awareness. This is the way it is for all people. First, there comes the introduction to awareness and the recognition of awareness, and then awareness is strengthened through the practice of short moments many times. And by virtue of that, you gain confidence in awareness and certainty about awareness. And it usually progresses gradually for most people. There's been a way of thinking about the world and thinking about yourself where you're pretty much obsessively wrapped up in all kinds of labels and not trusting what is innate. By the power of short moments, many times more and more you trust what is innate. This is just the way it is. And it really requires that you be completely fed up with or sick and tired of all the means of discovery and inquiry that you've relied upon. So whether it's philosophical or psychological or scientific or medical or whatever it is, it requires just coming to a conclusion within yourself that those lead nowhere in terms of your own well-being, and that what you really want more than anything is well-being. You want well-being. You don't want a head full of ideas that have never helped you out anyway. And so, by the power of short moments, many times you come to rely on what is genuine, what is authentic, what is authoritative within you, what is absolutely convincing about you. And then life is a lot easier. Now, gaining confidence in awareness isn't a matter of extremes. It doesn't say have a lot of money. It doesn't say have no money. It doesn't say give away your money. It doesn't say hoard your money. It doesn't adopt any extremes. So as these extreme ideas come up, there's only one way to resolve them. And that's in awareness. They can't be resolved by thinking about them. Thinking about them brings more anguish, not less. However, we convince ourselves that by thinking about things and emoting and that sort of thing, that somehow at some point this is going to start to work, when it's never worked anyway. So we engage in wishful thinking. We think that something is going to work that has never worked in the past. And this is another good definition of insanity, thinking that something's going to work that has never worked in the past to bring well-being. So why not try something else? Now, how long have you been gaining confidence and awareness?
I went to the first meetings in March in India.
In India, huh? So relatively new, yeah. Uh-huh. And it's important at this point to exercise your commitment and just say to yourself that you'll never give up no matter what happens. Till the day you die, you will never give up. You will never veer from awareness. This is the proper attitude. See, the simplicity of short moments many times is guaranteed to take you the distance. And there are many people who can tell you many things about gaining confidence with your innate nature. But there are very few statements that can be made as a guarantee. If you make the commitment, the 100% commitment, the guarantee is built in. It's all up to you. Now, initially, it may seem difficult. It just depends on how fed up you are with whatever you've been putting yourself through. And in order to make progress very quickly, you have to be completely sick and tired of your own bullshit. If you are, like I said, progress can be made very quickly. But it may take a while to convince yourself that you're sick and tired. It may be that you have to go through some more pain of seeing that all the thinking doesn't work. But I don't know, you look pretty convinced. And, you know, I can really relate to what you're saying about your field of interest because it is intellectually driven. And most of the people committed to accomplishment in that area are very wrapped up in intellectual speculation, but not everyone. So you see, no matter what field you're in, by the power of awareness, you can carve out your own way of contributing to that field from the perspective of awareness, including semiotics. You don't have to go along with the cage of philosophy and intellectual speculation that everyone else is involved in. In order to be an innovator, it requires going outside the box. And there's room for innovation everywhere, including semiotics. So if that's something you love and you really enjoy doing, I would look to see how you can bring the great freedom to that rather than just throwing it away and saying it doesn't work. There's definitely room for innovation there, just like there's room for innovation everywhere. So you see, wherever you are, by the power of gaining confidence and awareness, you're automatically being beneficial. First of all, you're beneficial to yourself, and then just by your own power of awareness, you're automatically beneficial to others. Because you start to really care. You care about yourself, and then as you care about yourself, you care about everyone in a very natural way. So then it doesn't matter so much what everyone else is doing. You can see what you can do to contribute in a special way. And money becomes, it just doesn't become a concern, just like any point of view isn't a concern. There's an ease about it and a natural way of being with it that is no longer primary. And for most Westerners, money is primary. Money is God. Even though we think we may be great seekers and we've cast aside everything, renounced everything, or whatever it might be, that's just another form of holding on to a point of view. And by the power of awareness, everything is resolved. By the power of awareness within human culture, the world can be a peaceful and abundant place. But you see, we're so accustomed to trying to contrive peace and abundance that somehow we think it's going to happen by those means, but it won't. It'll only happen through the power of wisdom. Whether it's in you or in human society in general. Signs and symbols are a trap if we're all wrapped up in them. However, signs and symbols are also wisdom if we gain confidence and awareness. So it all depends on how we define the signs and symbols. If we see the signs and symbols in one way, they're limiting. And if we see the signs and symbols as they are, they're not limiting at all. No sign and symbol or symbol has ever limited the basic state, no matter what it is. Whether it's a word, a character, or any other kind of symbol. And so essentially there are only traps if you believe there are. Really. There's nothing to clear up. There's absolutely nothing to clear up. Everything is already crystalline. It's crystal clear. Everything, no matter what it is. Nothing has ever been imprinted or embossed with a sign or symbol. Those are a fiction. Signs and symbols are a fiction. No matter what appears, it is essentially by its very nature unreifiable. It cannot be substantialized. It has no independent nature. No sign or symbol whatsoever has any kind of independent nature. It has never existed independently, separate or apart from the basic state. So this is a very important understanding in terms of labeling in general, or descriptive frameworks. Descriptive frameworks are as limiting as we make them out to be. If you think about it, just think about some kind of emotional agony you've had, where you've just gotten into a total state of emotional agony and totally believed in that agony, been absolutely convinced about it. And ask yourself what the process was by which you became convinced that you were in emotional agony. So signs and symbols, words and their labels, descriptive frameworks, if we believe that they have an independent existence, an independent power, some kind of juice that has the possibility of giving us something or taking it away, then it will. You weren't born needing to be able to describe anything about yourself. You weren't born describing yourself as somebody. You had no knowledge whatsoever of yourself being independent from the basic state. No knowledge whatsoever. That knowledge came upon you. It was learned through being exposed to people who believed that point of view. And as you came to believe that point of view, you came to see yourself in a certain way. You came to see yourself as individual, because people stood over you and said, "Hi, here I am, I'm your mommy, I'm your daddy, you're so-and-so, you're a girl, you're a boy." See, you were born not needing to know any of that. And so you see all these labels, they naturally appeared within your awareness. They were circumstantial appearances within your awareness, every sign and symbol. But they appeared within what was already present from the beginningless beginning. And so what is primary in that? What is primary is what is from the beginningless beginning. That's what's primary. What appears within it is just the dynamic energy of what is primary. And that dynamic energy is inseparable from the primacy of awareness. And this is the importance of short moments many times. When you become convinced that all the signs and symbols are real, then you're always dodging ghosts. Believe me, it's true. Because you already are who you are, it's no great shakes to be able to know that. You don't have to deconstruct it or reconstruct it or analyze it or examine it or anything else. It's more obvious than any of that. Oh, yes, you can. If you think you can't, you won't. If you're convinced that you can't, then you won't. However, you're not limited. You're not confined in any way by all the jabbering, internally or externally. No one is limited by that. If you look within yourself just for a moment, you'll see that that's true. You already recognize awareness, so what's keeping you from that? If you return to awareness again and again, then you see very clearly that all of this that you've believed in so much is simply an appearance of nothing, like a hologram or a mirage. It's completely insubstantial. If you look at any label you have, any sign or symbol like hate or love, and then you ask yourself where that hate or love are located, look within yourself. What is hate like within you? Is it something? Is it located somewhere? Does it have a substantial nature? Does it have a character of its own? Does it have something that makes it itself that can be substantiated? And then ask yourself the same thing about love. When that occurs to you, is it anything? Does it have a character of its own? Is it substantial? Is it any different than hate? And so you see, by trying to describe the world and decide hate is one thing and love is another thing, then we never come to a true understanding of what love is, of what real love is, of what pure love is. And pure love is to be found in those short moments of awareness that are free of all the extremes of love being one thing and hate being another. When we become convinced that we have to set up everything in an opposed framework of extremes, love and hate, this and that, benefit and harm, acceptance and rejection, then we spend our whole life like a ping pong ball, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. It's relentless. And so when we take short moments of awareness, we allow everything to rest in the basic state. When we allow everything to rest in the basic state, it becomes obvious that everything already is resting in the basic state. We become less and less convinced that our personal identity is something substantial. It's just like the idea of you or anyone else. That idea too is no different than any other idea you might examine within yourself. Just ask yourself if any of these are substantial. Look within your own experience to see if they are substantial. By getting all screwed up on points of view, people wander around in a drunken frenzy. And it's called normalcy. I'm not convinced. If that's normal, then human culture is in quite a state. So you see, it all begins with you, just with you. And establishing peace within yourself. That's how you become convinced that peace for everyone is possible. No other way. It can never be a head trip. Yeah. Ups and downs. By the power of awareness, all ups and downs are completely resolved. There are no longer any ups and downs. When you commit yourself to the practice of short moments many times, then you don't have to contrive any kind of beneficial intent. It's naturally beneficial to you and everyone. So you can have the thought, oh, this is beneficial to me, or it's beneficial to everyone. But that thought isn't what's really important. What's really important is the instinctive knowing in you of what's real about you and everyone. That's what's really important. You can call it instinctive, in that instinctive implies that it's inseparable from. It's inseparable from that basic state. It's instinctive to it. It's instinctive to the reflexive appearance of awareness. And so in that, it doesn't require any thinking. It just requires the greatest simplicity in yourself. The greatest simplicity. And sometimes that might feel difficult because of the impulsive desire to create all kinds of descriptions about what's going on, and to follow along some story about that. To just allow everything to be as it is, you come down to the core of what you could call humanness, which is the dynamic energy of all these appearances, the wondrous display of all these appearances, with no one to control them. The idea that there is someone to control them is the most confusing proposition of all. To just allow everything to be as it is in total simplicity and ease of your own being, you see that there's nothing to do. There's nothing to do. Any kind of impulse to do something about what's circumstantially appearing is just shooting yourself in the foot. And for each person, whatever this jabbering and is, it's unique to you. Your jabbering is like no one else's. There isn't another person on earth who has your peculiar flavor in that regard. Now that's amazing, isn't it? And so you see, you either identify yourself with that peculiar flavor, or you just allow everything to be of a single flavor, whatever it is. When you identify with awareness rather than your own points of view, then it becomes more and more obvious that all these points of view and everyone having them, that they're all just points of view appearing in awareness, and that keeps it simple. Now, if you want to complicate it any more than that, you'll have to go somewhere else. In fact, I would even encourage you to go somewhere else if you have to complicate it any more than that. If you can keep it totally simple, just as simple as it gets, then your life becomes easier and easier. You don't have to contrive your intention about anything or any kind of idea about who you want to become or who you are, any of that. Just keep it totally simple and enjoy every point of view, no matter what it is. As soon as you think you've got a handle on all these points of view, out of the blue, there'll be all kinds of points of view you never dreamt of before. And so you see, if you think that something's going to change or that points of view are going to be of a better or different quality, or all these are just more points of view, they're more philosophical speculation, just relax, totally relax. Relax body and mind completely, no matter what appears. Everything is totally free in the perception of it, as nothing has ever been anything. It's impossible that it be made into anything. A label doesn't impute anything unless you believe it does. And there's no reason to argue with yourself like, oh, isn't this table solid? Or how about that tree out there? And the other thing, forget it all. They're just all points of view appearing in awareness. By the power of short moments many times, you will come to realize that everything is insubstantial without thinking about it. One day you'll just say, wow, I remember you having all these questions about things and I don't anymore. What happened? So it's just that easy. But sometimes we think, oh, well, it's got to be more complicated than that, or there's got to be some fancy or highfalutin way of describing it that's special to me, that only I understand and no one else will. Or maybe I can find 10 other people who will agree with my way of talking about it. But, you know, whereas that may be useful to you and 10 other people, what about everyone else in the world? And so it's nice to have a simple way of talking about who we are that everyone can share and within a common understanding. This is all part of keeping it simple. When we learn to complicate things, that's just what we learn. When we learn we have a personal identity, then our whole quest is to prove how unique we are, how original we are, how substantial we are, so that we can compete with other personal identities and show that we're better and that they're worse. And so you see, just by the power of awareness, we don't have to think about any of that. We don't have to think about the ego or working on it or our personality type or any of these things. We just relax and we come to know everything about the most exalted philosophies that humankind has ever devised. So it's just that simple. Give yourself a break. Look around you. Look around you. Talk to other people who are gaining confidence and awareness. Ask them, well, how was it for you initially if you're new? There are plenty of people around here to talk to. And who would like to share their experience with this woman? Come on, raise your hands. You don't have to get up here. I'm not asking you to do it now. You can do it under a tree somewhere. Who would be willing to share? Okay. Is that it? One person, Ava? Okay. All right, very good. All right, so you have a whole room full of friends, but some of them have very heavy arms today. They can't lift them up in the air. What you're describing is your personal authority. That's what arrogance and pride are, the belief in personal authority, that you are the author of your experience and that you can somehow control your experience or adapt it somehow. And even though some people may be able to adapt their experience, that isn't freedom from experience, and it isn't freedom in immediate perception. It isn't complete perceptual openness in all experience. It's just the neutralization of experience, putting the damper on experience so it isn't so painful, usually by replacing it with some kind of other experience. And so to the belief that there's something to resolve, like, oh, if I work on my ego, then I'm going to come to a point of resolving my ego. Or if I really work in such and such a way, then the idea of an I will disappear. Or whatever it might be, I'll get a better personality. Or whatever these kinds of things might be. To keep it totally simple, that everything you think of, every emotion you have, every sensation you have, and every other experience you have, all these are simply points of view appearing in awareness. That's it. There's nothing to resolve because everything already is resolved. And there's also no one to resolve it. The I point of view is equal to any other point of view. If you examine the I point of view, it's equally insubstantial. And so all the frameworks about the ego and personality types and something that needs to be resolved in terms of a personal identity, all these are equally insubstantial, just like any other point of view. I really invite you to keep it totally simple. If you do, then you'll end up smiling a lot. And once in a while, you might be screaming your head off while you're smiling a lot. But if you are, it will have incredible purpose. That's useful to others. It won't just be self-indulgence. The idea that there is an individual who is authoring their experience is, it's just an idea, it's a philosophy, it's the current fashion. That's really all it is. You weren't born having any ideas like that. You weren't conceived thinking, whoa, this is it, I'm going to be somebody now. I'm going to be an individual. All these notions came upon you just through labeling, that's it. If you were the author of your experience, ideally, say you are the author of your experience, that would mean that you can author your experience. That means that you wouldn't be having that pain in your gut. And you wouldn't be having emotional chaos if there was someone who was really authoring their experience. So all of these are the dynamic principle of awareness. They're inseparable from awareness. They don't pose any kind of special situation. Not a single one of them poses any kind of special situation. And the more you think about that, the less you'll instinctively realize it. Because there's not a damn thing to think about. That's why the instruction is short moments many times. That's it. Short moments of getting real many times. You will find many people in the world who are very anxious to convince you of their points of view and to convince you that you are a point of view in relation to them. Now, the relief is certain if you rely on it. The relief is certain. Otherwise, it'll just be one disappointment after another, one dilemma after another, one join after another, you know, one bottle of vodka after another, one bottle of Chardonnay after another, whatever it is you like. To indulge in point of view is no different than that. It's no different than ingesting substances into oblivion. Believing in all the stories points of view tell, it's just the same obliviousness. It's completely oblivious to reality. And when the solution is so simple, why not, huh? There are two ways to make decisions: thinking about them and getting all heated up emotionally, or resting. Those are the two ways to make decisions. And by relying on the power of awareness, the decision doesn't come about through thinking about it. It just occurs spontaneously in awareness from a totally relaxed space. Yeah. Now, you may not trust that at first, and that's okay. That's very normal not to trust it, but give it a try. Give it a try in your own experience and decide which way you'd rather have it. Would you rather agonize over everything with all these stories about points of view in order to make a decision, or just rely on relaxed wisdom? But I'll tell you what, if you get all wrapped up in points of view, they'll kick your ass. We hope that by engaging in all kinds of plans and actions, then we're hoping that we're going to achieve some kind of comfort. Like, I know you're working hard and you're working in a job that may not be your favorite job, and you have certain goals. You want to pay for your house and have a certain lifestyle and all these things. Well, these are plans and actions that ideally are designed to provide you comfort and well-being. However, even though planning for the future is certainly a good and prudent thing for most people, to have it as the primary focal point is a mistake. So say you're involved in some kind of a job and you want to have certain nice things in your life. The only way to do that that's going to achieve well-being is by focusing on resting awareness while you're doing those things. Because if you get wrapped up in the thing itself, it'll just produce more and more anguish. You will not feel good. You'll hate your job even more. The house won't look that good either. And neither will your wife. You know? So all the ideas about it bringing something good and wonderful can't be counted on. Yeah. That all points of view appear within awareness, that's it. You know, if you try to impose some kind of idea of causality in there, then you're screwed. Well, check it out in your own experience. You see, causality seems to exist if you set up that descriptive framework. But once you begin to gain confidence and awareness, you see that there's something about you that is free from causality. So awareness doesn't say that things are causal or that they're acausal. It's free of both extremes. It doesn't have to have a position on anything. Whew. I'm glad you didn't make me into a New Age philosopher.